Chapman in Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. It is written, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. It is written, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. It is written, now unto our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
For God is just a prayer away.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Of Jesus' love that sought me when I was lost in sin, of wondrous grace that brought me back to his fold again, of heights and depths of mercy far deeper than the sea, and higher than the heavens my theme shall ever be. 'Twas wondrous love which led him for me to suffer loss, to bear without a murmur the anguish of the cross. With saints redeemed in glory, let us our voices raise, till heaven and earth re-echoes with our Redeemer's praise. Sweeter as the years go by, sweeter as the years go by, richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the years go by. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Philippians chapter 4. On Sunday, June the 11th, many years ago, I was awarded a small pocket-sized New Testament by the preacher of the 24th Street Church of Christ in Newport News, Virginia. The occasion was my graduation from the local high school. The preacher had several scripture references written on the blank presentation page. The references were from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 13 and 19. The first one is where Paul says, I can do all things in him that strengthens me. The second one said, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Those words were really needed, especially at that time of the Big Depression, times much like ours today. How was I to go to Cincinnati, at what was known at the time, Cincinnati Bible Seminary, now known as the Cincinnati Christian University? So those references were indeed appropriate. I can do all things in him that strengthens me, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Since that far-off day, we have preached in regular church ministries, hundreds of revivals and clinics, thousands of times on the radio, and because of the modern-day advances in electronics, the God is Just a Way Prayer Away broadcast can be heard worldwide through the generosity of Christians and churches of Christ. Someone asked one time, what foundation supports this work? And we told them, the foundation of God standeth sure. we can say that those words inscribed on the presentation page of the graduation New Testament gift were true. While no one can do all things, no man is an island. Paul tells us in Romans 14, verse 7, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. What has been done through any of us, through His strength that He gives us. And my God has supplied every need according to His riches and glory through Jesus Christ. The preacher who wrote those words was a powerful preacher of the Word and has since gone on to the other side with the majority. Had he thought about it, there were other verses in Philippians chapter 4 that he could have made reference to that would have been just as appropriate as the verses that he wrote down on June the 11th, many years ago. Now, the preacher could have written also Philippians 4, 1, and 2 in my New Testament, where Paul referred to the members of the church as my joy and my crown. 1 Peter 5, 4, Peter said and referred to that crown of glory also that fades not away. And that thought might have been the reason the songwriter wrote the words of the gospel song. Will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? And then he said, I exhort Euodia, and I exhort Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. That would have been a very appropriate verse. You don't have to serve the Lord in His church very long until you find out that not everybody is of the same mind in the Lord. Then he beseeches the leaders of the church to help those women who have labored with me in the gospel. Paul tries to mobilize the whole church to put this dispute to rest. Ladies and gentlemen, when there is trouble in the church, it is best to get the whole church working to put the disorder to rest. We can only hope that the mission in this case was accomplished. It is hard to find a church anywhere that it always has harmony throughout the membership. It was true in the days of the apostles, as we note in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then again in Acts 15, there arose a doctrinal problem at Antioch. In that case, it was settled when the brethren appointed Paul and Barnabas to go to Jerusalem to the other apostles that were there. All doctrinal problems can be settled by an appeal to the apostles' doctrine, the New Testament, unless somebody puts his own spin on the Word of God. At any rate, it would have been very appropriate if those words had been written in my graduation gift of that New Testament on June the 11th, many years ago. Another verse that could have been mentioned would have been Philippians 4, verse 3. In that verse, Paul referred to his fellow workers whose names were written in the book of life. It is always good to remember that our names as Christians, as followers of the Lord, are written in the book of life. You won't find the book of life in the local library. The book of life is in heaven, And the Book of Life is mentioned several times in the Word of God. When Moses found the children of Israel worshiping the golden calf that Aaron had made, he asked God to forgive them. He said in Exodus 32, verse 32, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Then he reminds them, "But rejoice that your names are written in heaven." It is a great honor to have a person's name listed in Who's Who in America. And certainly it is a coveted honor to have a person's name in one of the sports halls of fame. But the most coveted listing of names is the listing of our names in heaven. In Hebrews 12:23, Paul tells about the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, whose names are enrolled in heaven. As a Christian, your name is enrolled in heaven. Again, in Revelation 20, verse 15, the Apostle John tells us that at the judgment day, everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, the Lord himself warns the church at Sardis. That was the church that was dead. "He that overcomes shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot out his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." These various references, along with this verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, tell us that God has a book of life. The scriptures tell us that if our names are written in that book, we can rejoice. It tells us that our names can be blotted out. It tells us that those who are not there will be cast into the lake of fire. It tells us that they who are in that book will enter in through the gates into the city. From these thoughts, from the inspired word, it ought to be the ambition of every person to have his name in that book. In Luke 10:20, the apostles were rejoicing one time over the demons that were subject unto them on an evangelistic campaign. Jesus told the apostles, "Rejoice not that the demons were subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its page white and fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? And that would have been a good verse for the preacher to put in my New Testament graduation gift, if he had thought about it on June 11th many years ago. Another verse that would have been appropriate would have been Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. What a verse that would have been. Listen to this. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. he did not say groan or moan in the Lord always. He said rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. However, there are obviously many times when we cannot rejoice always. God tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, in the days of prosperity, be joyful, but in the days of adversity, consider. Surely, God has appointed one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. And then Paul reminds us in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. However, there is one thing we can always rejoice as Christians, as Jesus told the apostles in John 14:28, ye heard how I said, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go unto the Father. No matter what happens, we can always rejoice in the Lord and his return. Whatever it is that happens, we are on the winning side. Whatever happens, we can sing, as the songwriter has said, I'm going home to glory, saved by grace. I'm going home to glory just to see my Savior's face. I've made the good confession. I'll live for him each day. I'm going home to glory the Jesus way. This would have been written in my graduation New Testament gift for the preacher had thought about it on June the 11th, many years ago. Then there is another verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. That's the verse that should not have been left out. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 49, verse 18 tells us how to attain that peace that only God can give when he says, oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Obedience to the commands of the Lord is the only thing that can give us the peace that passes understanding. Only then can we sing the chorus, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Remember, Jesus said, if you have obeyed my commands, you can have that peace. In the New Testament gospel, there are no more important commands than the commands of Jesus when he said in Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, in nothing, be anxious. One of the great examples of worry and frets of life is found in Luke 8:38. Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to the Lord and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. What an opportunity to hear the Lord himself, and Martha was too busy to bother. Certainly that event must have been recorded in Scripture as an example for people today and time, and needs no further comment. That would have been a good verse to have jotted down if the preacher had only thought about it when he gave me that New Testament on June 11th, many years ago. And then Philippians 4:11 could have been included. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Considering the many states we can live, it would have been helpful to know the answer given by an inspired apostle if the preacher had put down that verse in my New Testament. It is there that Paul tells us about the best state to live. What is the best state to live in? Some might say Florida. Some might say California. Some might say someplace else. Paul tells us the best state when he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That is the best state of all, the state of contentment. How can anyone live in that state that has not become a Christian? How can anyone be content who has not obeyed the terms of pardon? Many of you have heard it over and over again. Remember, the scriptural baptism is a burial in water in obedience to Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Are you content? I had a brother-in-law who went through the North African campaign during World War II. He went through Sicily, then Italy. Most of the men he originally served with were killed, but his life was spared. When he came home, he got off the train in Cincinnati at a place called Union Terminal and got into a taxi. He told the driver to drive him to the east end of the city and to drive 35 miles an hour all the way. Don't go any faster than that, or I will stop you. He told the driver that he had come through 4 years of battle, and he wasn't coming home to be killed by a taxi driver just a few miles from home. He arrived home safely, got out of the car, kneeled down, and kissed the earth he thought he would never see again. Later on, I baptized him into Christ, according to the plan that was given the day the church began. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I joined the Apostle Peter in his exhortation to that great crowd on the day of Pentecost. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. And 3,000 responded. I joined my voice with the prophet Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. Today is the day of salvation. And again with Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me ask you again, are you content? Do you live in that state? The state of contentment is the best state of all. I suppose the preacher did not think about it, but it surely would have been a good verse that might have been included in my graduation gift of the New Testament that he gave me on June the 11th, many years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. tell somebody, somehow, in some way, that God is just a prayer away.